It is time to bring in our friends from the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia Hotzwinder is in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
So is Ann Day.
Good morning.
And there's Ann. And we also have Cynthia. Ann and Janet. Hello, Janet.
Hi.
Hello, Janet.
Hi.
So we are all set for the Lakeville Journal this morning.
We skated in.
You lived.
I tried to get a message for you guys not to park in the back parking lot.
I know. I should have, you know, as soon as I parked it and started walking, I was like, did you park
in the back parking lot?
I did. I parked where Jill usually parks.
We're going to rope ourselves together.
All right.
Well,
at least it was a little rock and roll parking.
We'll get a little sled for you to get.
It's better now than it was even a half an hour ago.
All right. It's
so positive.
I've been warning people all morning, don't park in that back parking lot. You sit down parking lot.
And it's everywhere, every parking lot, so really be careful today.
All right, we'll start off with the Lakeville Journal's top story, and that is regulations in the state could force pay-as-you-throw to towns. And I remember when poor Peter Oliver brought
That's exactly what Janet said. She said, Peter Oliver.
It was when that happened, when he brought it up, it was like an earthquake.
Yeah. So we've all been covering, as a group, we need a support group. We've been covering this, the Salisbury Share and Transfer Station conversations for, it feels like 20 years already. It probably is 20 years, actually.
Well, getting close. Yeah.
And so we've lived through the search for sites and the conversation about sites. And whenever people say, like, oh, you didn't really look hard enough for a new site, we're like, they looked really hard. But one of the early conversations they had was, how do you make it pay? And what people don't maybe understand is that our garbage gets put into the general hopper or the recycle. And there were a lot of efficiencies that were made there under the really wonderful Larry, I think his last name was Larry Burke, transfer station manager, who kind of looked at it and said, you're paying too much to have your basic garbage disposed of when you could actually be selling a lot of your recyclables. So he figured out a way that, like, the town transfer station is selling scrap metal and it's selling, you know, clothing, and trying to encourage people to compost so that that wet, heavy food garbage isn't going into the main garbage hopper. But there have been a lot of changes, and there's some concern about single-stream recycling and the future of our being able to sell all that single-stream recyclable plastic. And so the state is coming up with new regulations, and it's looking like we may be moving to a future of actually pay-as-you-throw, which a lot of towns have done successfully, where basically you go to the town hall and you buy stickers and bags, and you wrap your garbage into these special types of bags and throw them out that way, so that you're not paying a flat fee no matter how much garbage you throw out. You're paying for how much garbage you throw. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, is that fair? Who's paying for this? Who's paying for that? So, of course, a certain portion of the transfer station fees are still paid from out of your tax dollars. So, there's a lot of questions about fairness and regressive taxing, et cetera. But I'm sure that we'll be hearing it and discussing it all a lot as time goes on.
An incredibly sad story that hits home about our war against terror is a Pine Plains resident, Shannon Smith Kent, was killed in that explosion.
Right, a 35-year-old woman who grew up in Pine Plains. And I think everybody in our area saw on the news the story about a suicide bomber came to a cafe and there was an explosion. And I think 19 people were killed, including this young woman from Pine Plains. And what a horrible waste of life. And
it's a sad story. All right. Right below that, though, Great Barrington's Du Bois, of course, W.E.B. Du Bois. They're really on the memories, but the town really, really has come forward to honor what he did in his lifetime.
So we're lucky that Bernie Drew, who's one of our senior editor, is a recognized world expert on W.E.B. Du Bois and respected historian. And we had heard that the Clinton AME Zion Church up in Great Barrington was being renovated finally. And so Bernie sort of checked in and gave an update on the renovation, which is being largely done by two architects, Mario Gooden, but also John James from Ashley Falls, who is a very respected local architect and did a lot of work up at the Shaker Museum in Pittsfield. But Bernie, because he's Bernie, adds a lot of information about, like, who is W.E.B. Du Bois and, you know, sort of what was his connection to this area and why is he important to us.
All right. You've got a picture of a story that we've been covering here, and that's the three farmers and an educator that decided to try to stop a delivery to Cricket Energy and were eventually arrested.
Sometimes life is just as interesting as a TV show. And this is one of those moments because, like, how often does this happen? So Cricket Valley Energy, the power plant is almost constructed. It's almost done. And there's a lot of questions, you know, still from people about the quality of the air and whether it will continue to run. And I think that what people don't necessarily understand is that the federal government requires that there be base power production, so that people keep saying, well, why can't we use, you know, solar power or water power? And those are not fully reliable sources of energy. So the government requires that there be something that can, you know, always be generating enough power for the area. So when Andrew Cuomo shut down the nuclear power plants at Indian Point, which he felt were too close to New York City, somebody had to replace the 2,000 megawatts of power that were being produced there. So this is a plant that's goal is to produce 1,100 megawatts of power. It's supposed to be the cleanest burning plant in the world when it's completed. But people are still concerned about it. And certainly it's not, you know, a beauty site on the highway at this point. So a group of farmers with backing from a group called Sane Energy got a very cute old 1950s Massey Ferguson tractor that it's incredible. Like, it probably doesn't even run. I think they had to push it out into the road. And then, just like on TV, they chained themselves to the tractor. And, you know, I have to say that took some courage, because if you've ever been out on the road when they're doing a delivery to Cricket Valley, it's very intimidating. The cops are not fooling around. And they jump out and they go, "You, pull over to the side street." So here are these guys that stood out there in front of a half-mile-long convoy of Connecticut State troopers and truckers and just kind of calmly said, "No, we're not going to move. We're registering a protest." And certainly their voices were heard. And as far as we can tell from watching the video of it, it was a very peaceful conflict and everybody behaved well.
All right. So Cricket Energy was publicized in newspaper stories and everything while the whole thing was going for years.
Yeah.
And I'm all for being upset and wanting to protest something. But because you found out about it too late, because of whatever reason, to do it now after.
As it's being built. And so what one of the protesters said was, you know, they didn't renew the permit for a power plant in the Hudson Valley. And so I'm not really sure why. I'm going to guess that it was probably a very old, very polluting power plant. It's going to be a very clean plant. Yeah. But what's going to really shut down these plants, if anything does, is if they're able to find a way to make renewable energy storable in batteries. And once that does, the government, the power grid will always go to the cheapest, cleanest energy that's produced, and at some point this power plant may become obsolete, and that's what will do it, is when renewable energy is more reliable.
All right. In Kent, women held a protest.
That's right. It was part of the national protest, and a lot of women turned out in spite of what was horrible weather. And, you know, a lot to protest, and they had their signs up, and they had a young woman, a law school student, who spoke, and a nice outing for everybody, despite the weather.
And I love the Lakeville connection to the re-release of the crime books.
Right, George Simenon, the Meg Ray novel, thrillers, crime stories, and also a lot of novels. And Simenon was a teacher at Hotchkiss and talks about Lakeville in his autobiography. And Penguin has released new translations of his many, many, many works.
Yeah, on page A3, I love the story on...
Don't skip Ann Day's photo of the barred owl.
That is
so incredible.
Very important.
So and I heard that there was a bobcat fox face-off in her yard yesterday.
We had a standoff in our yard. Bobcat versus beautiful fox.
Well, I hope the fox got away.
They both did.
They both ran away because my brave little dog Lola went and barked them away.
Okay. How close were you when you took that picture of the owl?
So close, Marshall. I was as close to that owl as I am to you. And even when I got out of my car with a very intimidating long lens, the owl continued to stare at me nonchalantly and didn't budge. And then I started waving my hands because I wanted him to fly, because I love to see a picture of a flying owl. But he wouldn't move. And then finally I threw something, and he flew away, and I didn't get the picture.
Sure. Serves you right.
Serves me right.
All right, now let's go on to the Sharon Medicine Show, because my first doctor was Dr. Goodenach, and he's part of the century as well as Sharon.
Right. This is a really interesting show. I actually went when they had the tree lighting in Sharon. It's very extensive and it's very research. And there's part of Deb Alexianis' story is about how there's just tons of written information which you don't normally see at a historical society show. It's not just objects; it's really a history, and you know, with photos and everything. Very interesting show. Read her article and definitely go see it. And then Paul Ramoney is back with his wonderful accordions. He's got that museum in North Canaan. How cute is that? And just the nicest man. I've never heard anybody say he wasn't just the nicest guy. And he's giving a concert and doing a talk about his new book, which is the stories of all the accordions, which are fascinating. And it will be free concert and book signing Saturday, February 9th at 2 o'clock at Gear.
All right. So on the news side of things, we've got confusion in Canaan and new sidewalks possibly in Kent.
It feels like there's there are overlapping issues going on with this B. Metcalf processing plant in East Canaan, which is sort of largely rural part of town, but also there are, you know, quarries there. But people in town feel very strongly about this plant, this processing process not being allowed to continue. And there's been suit, countersuit, harsh words between town officials ongoing, and we'll hope that this resolves itself nicely for all involved.
All right. You've got a nice story about the Green Cafe growing, and their menu has expanded, and that's nice to have that there in the center of Lakeville.
And they're also applying for the liquor license, so it's going to become the restaurant's going to become a more and more important part of a very popular gem.
What's great about the liquor license, you could be like me, you can go in there, you can try to lose weight, and when you don't lose weight,
just
you
go have
a drink
a beer.
And
I love that idea.
Yeah. Right. Just relax.
My dad used to go out. My dad would go out, and he'd play tennis so hard for hours and hours, come home soaking wet, and be like, "Need a beer right away."
Just go to the Green Cafe, have a nice fat sandwich. You could
make pork belly sandwiches,
and drink some alcohol, and go home and say, "I was at the gym."
And if it gets out of control, Leslie Sherman's husband, Jason, does alcohol counseling upstairs.
All right. Stafford, you've got a story, Bangle, back on track at Stafford Motor Speedway.
Yeah, a guy from grew up in Colebrook, lives in Norfolk, and he's a stock car racer. You know, there's a lot of people around here who quietly are race car drivers. Right. I guess it's not that surprising. So he's getting ready for the Stafford Motor Speedway spring season starting in April.
All right. You've got the Mountaineer Weekend Review, also a student of the week.
Yes, we have a lot of swimming. We have student of the week, Mackenzie Hunter. We have another one coming up in our next issue, I believe. And then, most important, the ski jumps are back February 8th to 10th. And we have at our office today all of the SWASA volunteers who work so hard. There's a lot of them out there making snow. I'm sure today is a miserable day for them. And we'll hope that it gets cold again before February 8th, 9th, and 10th for all of the SWASA fun. And we also have the volunteers at our office today putting together the massive, very well-supported SWASA publication that you get when you buy your ticket for the jumps.
And don't worry about the cold. It's going to come in Wednesday night or Thursday and then stay and get really bad.
Oh, good.
So don't worry about that.
Great.
A town and school at odds over tuition in Winstead.
Yes, it's the Gilbert School, and there's questions about, you know, the Gilbert School is a complex, problematic place for Winstead. It's a private school, but it's got all of the Winstead students go there, and they're sort of having a conversation about what the tuition should be. And they also have the international program with a lot of students from China, which has been struggling. So a difficult moment for that school.
All right. I want to go on to the opinion page. A fairly long editorial about staying engaged with the state legislature.
That's right. And, you know, when we think of government right now, certainly we think of the fact that our federal government is partially closed down to the detriment of so many people. And we thought, well, should we write about that? But then we think, boy, by the time the paper comes out, won't they be open? Mm-hmm. Well, that hasn't happened yet. So we'll encourage them to find a way to do that. In the meantime, let's think about our state. And, you know, the elections were in November. Earlier this month, we had our representatives sworn in, and now they're down to work, and it's a long session. In an odd-numbered year, it's a six-month session, and it'll be there till June. Pay attention, because what they're doing, as you see just by that one story on the front page about pay-as-you-throw for trash, there are lots of things they're addressing that will affect our lives directly, and it really pays to keep in touch with your legislators and to see what they're doing on our behalf.
It's just important. The state of Connecticut has got to do a lot of money saving, and a lot of it's going to come back on the backs of residents.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's not just about the election. It's about the governing.
Yeah. And you've got lots of letters and lots of great columns as well.
We really do. And it's great to see such a variety of topics in our letters, and all really interesting. So take a look through those. We thank Kay Blass for mentioning how poetic Tim Abbott is. His last Nature's Notebook really inspired her, and thanks for that. We have Dick Ollis talks about lessons learned in how to cover demagogues, and very interesting. Let you see who he's comparing the present demagogue to. Larson, or the U.S. Rep. John Larson, the Democrat in the 1st District, is working on Social Security, and there's really something to that. So take a read on Chris Powell's column and a wonderful piece by Varujan Frangian, just a beautiful piece on Martin Luther King. And M.A. Duca talking, he does write short, and he's pithy, and he is always fun to read. And don't miss a beautiful picture by Ann Day where geese did take flight, unlike that owl.
And don't forget the Steiner cartoon.
Yes, don't forget the Steiner cartoon. It's very, we won't even try to describe it. You have to see it to appreciate it, and it's really good.
Also, what's interesting is, in turning back to pages, if you go 25 years ago in January of 1994, 18 to 21 inches of snow.
Right.
Biggest storm of the year.
Exactly.
So it's either cold, rain, or snow. Take your pick.
Right.
But also, may I interrupt for 1 second? Also, in 1919, Mr. Bradley dug up a parsnip from his garden.
Well, isn't that incredible?
And
I love that
in
one.
The same year, Mr. Martin was taking ice from Lakeville Lake, so go figure.
Yeah, Mr. Bradley was tough, and I'd really love to know the story behind those parsnips.
All right, one more story we talk about, and it's on the back, it's on page A10, but the Lime Rock Park issue is going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to bypass the appellate court. People have already spent thousands of dollars on lawyers, and this should save everybody more money. But it's very interesting that they just decide, you know what, we're going to skip the appellate.
Yes,
and we know what's going to happen here. Whatever happens here is going to go to the Supreme Court anyway.
Yeah. And just so people don't feel like we're hiding that, there was just so much news this week that ended up on the jump page. But yes, this is a big deal, and it's something that actually the Planning and Zoning Commission in the town, that everybody seems to want them to do so that they can finally resolve it. And it's a question about, whose powers supersede whose in the town.
It's a town and state battle. That's pretty amazing. We'll see what happens.
Town and town battle.
Town and town, town and state. Town,
right, town and town, state and town. Yeah, and back and forth. And so, initial submissions are due at the state Supreme Court February 22nd. We will be on it.
All right. So now?
Dun, dun, ta-da.
And
Dave.
Oh, compass, yes. So I'm so busy thinking about the ice and the parsnips. we have an author, Jack Kelly, will be coming to speak at the White Hart about the Pullman strike, which was during the 1894 it started. But just so if we think things are tough now with the government shut down and teachers on strike in Los Angeles, if you read this book, you'll see how really violent and crazy and dangerous it got. Eugene Debs, who was really quite an amazing labor organizer, got everyone to strike against the Pullman Company, and it got bloody, and it got angry, and it was...
Something just happened.
Well, the cats jumped on the wall.
See,
anyway,
it's a
good book.
Going.
He's speaking at the White Hart on February 7th at 6 o'clock. Also, I'd just like to mention that last week I made a mistake and said that the Sharon Playhouse, with their tribute to Candor and Ebb, Cocktails and Cabaret, I had said it was the 27th. It's actually Saturday, January 26th. Cocktails begin at 5:30, and the performance starts at 6:30. It's going to be a fabulous evening. Everyone should go. It's this Saturday at 5:30. And I have, there are so many photo shows. I really want to review only one. So I have Carl Salater reviewing two shows. I reviewed two, but my favorite one, the one that is my lead story, is a fellow called John Clark, who's not just a photographer, he's a painter, and he makes these long exposure images with his iPhone, and he blows them up really large, and then he paints on them and draws on them with pencil and pastel, and they're quite beautiful. And it's worth the drive up to Lenox to see that show. He's at Sohn Fine Art in Lenox. And then we have an IMS teacher, Glenn Seelenbrandt, has an exhibit at Sharon Town Hall. It's been up for a while, but he was part of a movement in the late 90s that was involved with skateboarding, and somehow, and I haven't quite figured out how, involved with Shepard Fairey, the artist who did the Obama Hope poster. Also, there is a new show at Place in Millerton, which is the wonderful collaboration between Joe Nosofsky and Mimi Harney and Sonny Hernandez. And Sonny has a has an art gallery in the shop where they sell furniture and clothing. And the artist is called Joanna Lindsay. She's a New York City artist. Also, all iPhone pictures. Seems to be a trend. And go see it in Millerton. And we also have a show of the Housatonic Camera Club, not iPhone pictures, all serious amateur photographers, some professionals. And it takes up that whole gallery space at Noble Horizons. And I would highly recommend that you go see it.
And it's not that far away till the art show and the contest at India Mountain. They think they debut that the 26th or the 28th for the party as well.
Oh, you know, I need to find out about that. They haven't
they
sent me anything.
They usually send us stuff like a year ahead of time. We haven't heard anything.
I haven't gotten a word about it. So
well, I will remind. I'm going to be speaking to Sam Posey today. I will remind them to get a hold of you, Anne.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank
today.
You.
Well.
And lots of things in calendar to do. So, yeah. Keep track of it.
Well, that it. You got it all in, and now you guys have the most dangerous part of the day.
And then we have to get back to that parking lot. We're so dumb. As soon as I got out of the car, I was like, oh.
It's one of those things, that it's just amazing.
The light bulb moment came.
You know, if I'm not parked in the parking lot, next time you don't see any cars or just.
Well, because sometimes you guys move the cars before, like after we get in.
Yeah.
There's a complex ballet of your autos out there. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Next week.
We hope so. Yeah.
All right.
On crutches. Yeah.
All right. That's it. That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal online, tricornernews.com. Also, you'll find them on Facebook, and you'll also be able to find this show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on this week in the Lakeville Journal.